Hey, y'all, I got a question for you. What's a piece of gear that you maybe have unintentionally overlooked in your rig throughout the years? Well, for me, it's always been guitar cables. I figured it just goes from the guitar to the amplifier or the guitar to the pedal board to the amp, and if one breaks, whatever, I'll just go buy another one. No big deal. Thanks to the fine folks at Runway Audio, though, I have finally seen the light. Runway Audio is based in Nashville, Tennessee, which is awesome for me because that's right down the road. But it's awesome for you as well because Runway has the best cable on the market. And what makes it the best, you ask? Well, it has the lowest capacitance of any cable on the market right now, at 20 picofarads per foot. And pretty much all that capacitance is the ability to store an electrical charge. The lower the capacitance is, the less tone that it sucks from your cable from your guitar on the way to your amplifier. So if you're in the market for anything cable-related, whether it's instrument cables, patch cables, XLR cables, speaker cables, power cables, you name it, Runway Audio has got you covered. And if you go down to my link tree, click the link for Runway Audio, any purchasing you will do, I will get a little bit of a kickback from that, which is always appreciated. So check out all the awesome stuff that Runway Audio is doing and pick something up to get the best tone possible. This episode today is brought to you by Stringjoy Guitar Strings, the finest strings on the market. For me, it has been the Orbiters that have been my absolute go-to ever since they have come out, and that's their coated electric strings. But if the coated thing's not your thing, totally get it. The Signatures and the Broadways in their electric line, top-notch quality. For acoustic guitars, they have their Naturals and their Brights, along with the Foxwoods, which are their coated Fosper Bronze. For all you bassists out there, too, they have the Signatures and the Rangers. Full disclosure, the link down below is my affiliate link, so if you would like to check out Stringjoy, click that link down below. Not only will you be getting the finest guitar strings on the market, but you'll also be helping out this podcast, which I greatly appreciate. So head on over to Stringjoy today. I'm not even close to the tip of the iceberg of all the awesome things that Stringjoy does, so click the link down below and check them out for yourself. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's been a minute. Sorry about the delays and the episodes, just kind of going through a dry spell right now. Definitely not going anywhere, but that just kind of is what it is. You know what I mean? But today I've got a super awesome returning guest for you. Guys already know if you read the title. Before we get to that, as per usual, if you want to check me out on any social media platform, go ahead and check me out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Pretty much if you search Man the Helm, you're going to find where I'm at. On top of that, this will be the first episode that we have a Patreon episode. So if you're not a Patreon already, slide on over to patreon.com/manthehelm, or you can just go right down to the link tree and check that out. First episode with this awesome guest today. Also down in my Patreon, you will find links to all the affiliate links for what you just heard as far as Runway Audio and Stringjoy. So definitely give those a check out. If you purchase anything through those links, I will get a small kickback from that, which is always greatly appreciated. But as per usual, thank you so much for just hanging out with me, listening to this episode. It means the absolute world to me. So enough of all this. Let's go ahead and get to today's episode. Welcome back to Man the Helm podcast. Today, I have a returning guest, Xander Raymond Charles. What's up, man?
How are you, sir? Thank you so much for having me back, man. It's been almost like a year to the day, and if my memory serves correctly. So it feels good, man. It feels good to be back hanging out with you.
Absolutely, dude. It's been like, it was like April, I think. So we're just a little over a year, but yeah, man, okay. That's pretty close. Yeah, but a lot has changed in a year. And if you guys haven't checked out the first episode I did with Ray, you guys need to pause this, go back to like, I think it's pretty early on. It's like episode maybe 6 or something like that. Yeah. And go check out that podcast first, because we're not going to really do the backstory thing. We've already talked all that stuff. So if you haven't listened to that, go check that out and then come right back to this one and you'll pick up right where you left off. So like you said, it's been about a year, man. Mm-hmm.
And as always, you're hitting the YouTube stuff hot and heavy, just as you have been for the better part of 5, 6 years now.
Yeah.
But kind of what has really changed in that year? I know there's been quite a lot of stuff that's happened for you, man, in this year.
Yeah. So, like, you know, cutting right to the chase, the biggest thing was the whole rebranding of everything. Like,
yeah.
You know, that was something that I was, like, pondering for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, because, like, my initial, like, Stay Metal Ray, like, I'll always be Stay Metal Ray. Like, I'm never not shying away from that. But it's, like, it was, like, so limiting. Like, incredibly sure. limiting. And I was, like, feeling a little, like, restricted of just, like, what I can do going forward. Because, mm-hmm. like, I love music. But, right. however, when it's my turn to play, what comes out is just very, like, intense, heavier music. And that's not necessarily by choice. Like, seriously, it's just kind of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So in all that, like, I wanted to rebrand everything just so I could be me and not be limited to one genre, one preconceived thing that you're going to expect. I just wanted to just be me and be comfortable with music.
For sure.
So, like, that was like, you know, the main thing at the end of 2022 that I decided to put into motion. And the response and just the overall response, it was, like, unbelievably, like, cool, man. Like,
yeah.
People were just like, you know, oh, okay, awesome. You know, whatever, what, like, not speaking on anybody specifically, but more or less, like, whatever's most comfortable for you, we're on board. And honestly, it kind of makes sense. Like, that was, like, the general consensus across the board. So that response and that appreciation and all the above was just, like, really cool, bro. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, is this going to be, like, career suicide? Are people going to think it's a dumb idea? And some people thought it was, you know, like, oh, don't do that. It's all good. But, like, almost everybody got it. And almost everybody's like, that makes sense from a business standpoint and a personality, you know, air quotes, personality standpoint.
Sure.
Whatever that means. But yeah, that was the main thing, man. And then from there, I felt like I felt so, like, inspired again. Not that I ever was uninspired, but I just felt like, okay, this is, people get it. People make sense. I rolled out the plan and the announcement correctly. Cause I was not just like, today's Wednesday. I'm just going to change everything today. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, I'm
right.
bored. Like, it was in motion for several months. So then once I did it, and then once people were just like, yeah, dude, we love you for who you are. Like, and I made it very clear, like, I'm not going to be anybody different online or in real life, whatever. It's just, it is what it is. So from there, man, yeah, it just felt like really inspiring to just create and do whatever I wanted. And truthfully, nothing. It's funny. Like, I can do now whatever I want.
Yeah.
Mentally, but, like, what I end up doing is still the same thing, which is what it always was going to be. But, like, I had to more or less prove it to the audience, like, hey, nothing's changing.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's kind of, you know, I've been following your channel for quite a while. It almost sort of reminded me of kind of when you didn't want to be the air quotes Jim Root guy.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago, you know what I mean? Yep. And once again, with that too, nothing really changed. You still put out the same types of content.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, what's a good business term for it? You pivoted to another direction. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's what that rebrand at the beginning of, or in 2022 kind of reminded me of.
Yeah.
You know, which is important, like, with creators like yourself, because you do have to constantly change and evolve and make something that makes sense, not only for you, but for the audience as well.
Absolutely. Right. And, like, you know, you ever hear of the channel was called Gear Gods? Now it's just Trey Xavier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I took a huge inspiration from that, because, like, his announcement video was, like, 2 or 3 months before I did it. And I was, like, knee deep into, like, pondering that idea. So, like, when I saw him do it, it was like, it's possible. It's feasible.
Yeah.
And then, like, dude, I was, like, going into deep dives on, like, famous brands that have rebranded. Like, Pepsi wasn't Pepsi at one point, but, like,
right,
you know,
right.
You would never know. So, like, it was like, it was a bigger task for me mentally than it was practically. Like,
sure.
People, like, took 2 minutes to, like, digest it, and then we were off and running. But
yeah,
it was something I had been working on up top for quite some time.
For sure. And I think that's probably one of the, that was probably the biggest hurdle for you to get over, was getting over what you thought of it more than what the audience was going to think about it. You know what I mean?
I truly disagree. Like,
really?
I was on board 1,000% from the inception of that idea.
Oh, okay.
But like, I was like more worried about the external response.
Oh, okay. That's sort of where I was going with it. Not you personally, but how you were worried about how it was going to be perceived is kind of where I was going with it.
Oh, okay. My apologies for misunderstanding. Yeah. Like in that regard, 1,000%, because, you know, just being honest, that's how I make a living. It's how I,
right.
You know, changing how you make a living is an incredibly daunting, like changing the thing that you use to make money is an incredibly daunting task, and you got to do it right. And you can't fumble once you make that change. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, bro, like that was a big, it wasn't a hurdle. It was, like you said, a pivot point and like a next level, a leveling up thing, because
sure.
My channel was never initially intended to be a job.
Right.
Never, ever in my wildest dreams did I ever think I would make it as a job. I wanted to do YouTube and social media, but as a passion project. Then all of a sudden I was like doing it for, you know, trying to, you know, at the time, still to this day, trying to do it for a living. And then, yeah, it's just like the next evolution. I'm completely comfortable with myself, my brand, everything. I'm just like, I feel so much more like not gimmicky.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like now it's State Metal Ray is a nickname, which is what it always was intended to be.
Mm-hmm.
So like now here we are, and like I feel great. It was an unorthodox way to do it, more or less, but I feel great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. The problem is, I think if you would have made it earlier on, it might not have been as good for you. You were kind of already established. You had, you know, a solid fan base, and you still do,
yeah.
But that early on transition, because being the name that it is, kind of like a nickname or gimmicky, like you said, it does have a solid ring to it. You can look up SMR pretty easy, you know, and next thing you know, you're getting to all the stuff that you had put out under that nickname or moniker or whatever you'd like to call it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it definitely served its purpose for those 4.5-5 years that you were under that,
yeah.
You know, but like you said too, I think it comes more from, because the content that you're putting out in the past year really hasn't changed hardly at all. You know, there might be.
I sound so cliche, but I truly think it's gotten better. Like,
for sure. Yeah, thanks. I would agree.
Thanks.
But now I think, like you said too, it's like you feel more free to do what you want. You might have felt a little more contained under that name before.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And that I think what it was like more or less a pitfall of like doing my own R&D when learning how to be a YouTuber.
Sure.
Because like everybody says, like, go an inch wide in terms of what your niche is and don't deviate from that, and then just go like 1,000 meters deep, like really narrow, and just like plummet as far as you can, deep dive into everything about that. And while I do agree with that, you know, maybe I chose too narrow.
Sure.
Something. And yeah. You know, because like, you know, I have all these envisions of being an artist and a creator, and like, what if, I don't know, man, somebody in the vein of like a pop artist,
sure,
wants to collab with me. And like, you know, I think people would get like Stay Metal Ray and insert X, you know, pop star, but like, it felt like, well, now I have to turn that down, because that's not what I'm all about. Like, I'm solely this.
And right.
I felt so like, like not comfortable, basically. Felt like I was like limiting my own self just because.
Yeah, I totally get that, man. And like you said too, I mean, when those opportunities do arise, you know, for instance, any sort of collaboration or stuff like that, the branding of that collaboration is extremely important, not only to yourself, but to the artist that you're collaborating with. And there could be a situation where you might have to turn something like that down because they, you know, maybe they do think it's too gimmicky, or it's not a good, you know, you just never know. So I think you made a pretty solid move, man. You know?
Thank you. I, I do too, but I it makes me feel a bit good when somebody such as yourself says that. So thanks, man.
Yeah, dude. So besides the brand change, which was pretty big, you know, like I said, you've been kind of, I loved what you said last time that you talked, and I know you got it from Old England, but being a, like, turning yourself into a virus, I think, or something like that, spreading yourself everywhere.
Yeah.
That was like one of the best pieces of advice that I've ever heard somebody say when it came to creating and being somebody on social media. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
and
bro.
I just don't know how, because I don't know, man. It's like every time I open up Instagram, you're one of the first people I see. Every time I open up YouTube, you got a new video out. Like, dude, you just are like, the momentum is never stopping.
Thanks,
you know?
Man. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's just like, to this day, I'm so hungry for whatever. It's so funny. Like, I have a goal in mind, but I literally have no idea what that goal is.
Right.
But I'm so hungry to achieve it. It's like, I think right now at this moment in time, I'll know when I get there, but I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm like, not comfortable. I'm not content with, like, my legacy sounds too like a much of an ego trip. I'm not comfortable with where I'm at professionally right now. So like, to get there, man, I'm just like, I'm trying my very, very best to just put as much as I can out there. And yeah. Sometimes I feel like I oversaturate myself, but like, I'd rather oversaturate than undersaturate.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially in this, you know, just as well as anybody else, man, the second you take a few days off, it's like an eternity in the social media world anyway. So, you know,
yeah,
like you said, the oversaturation, I don't really like when people say, not you specifically, but just in general, like, cause I hear people about like, oh, I would start a gear channel, or I would start a demo channel, or I would do this, but there's already too many people doing it. My comeback to them is always, well, you're not doing it. You have a different perspective than X, Y, and Z that are doing whatever, you know. You might teach something in a way that will connect with more people, you know, that
absolutely, man.
It just never, I don't like the word oversaturated, because there are people that are huge fans of yours that maybe have never heard of somebody you're a huge fan of that you got inspiration from and whatnot. Yeah, like, but now you're the one providing that inspiration.
Who's Johnny Rotten?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, who's that? Yeah.
But
bro. So like, you know, just, it's funny. Like, I teach lessons privately as well. As like that's what I do in the evening time now, which I'm super grateful for, that people even are like stoked to like pick my brain and stuff. And like, I have a lot of these conversations about like, the saturation and the you know what, there's a lot of people think like I'm like stumbling over my words here. What I'm trying to say is like, I have a lot of conversation with people that I teach. I teach like social media tactics just as much as I teach literal guitar lessons. But in terms of like the social media conversations I have with kids, basically that's what, you know, they're like 20-year-old kids, 21-year-old kids that are super into it and are just starting out. It's like, you know, just who cares what your talent level is right now today? Sure. Would you love to be the best guitar player in the world? Yeah. But you know what? So would I. We're not. So in that, you have your own unique quality and approach to the instrument, and you have your own unique quality to life. So like, you are always going to be unique. And it's like what you said, man, like there's you, meaning this non-specific person, you are not doing it. So once you do it, you will now automatically be unique and not necessarily saturating because there's too many guitar channels. There's only one of you, bro. Like, or, you know, whoever it is. Yeah. Like, I hear a lot of these conversations and it's like, I just try my very best to convince anybody who's listening. Like, man, I was so lost and so green and so uneducated on any of this stuff, and like, I just went for it and made so many mistakes, and my original content is laughable at times. But like, and it's funny, like when I was posting it back in like 2017, I knew it was laughable, but like, I was just so into it, I didn't care. Like, what, the person from high school is gonna make fun of me? Like,
right,
you know, what are you doing now, Steve, or, you know, whoever,
right?
I don't know anybody.
Come at me, Steve.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, John or whatever, you know. Anyway, yeah, man, it's just like I you know, in all this, it's just like I really value just being out there. It's like, it doesn't matter what, it's not even just like the content matters, but it's like, if you're just there, if you're just around, people will eventually like get on board and just,
yeah,
you just got to be in the scene, be in the area, be in front of them.
Well, it's the same. I mean, you know, I'm down in the Nashville area, like, you know, but you know, it's the same thing. Those guys on, you know, that are playing out live all the time. It's, you got to be present to be known. It's the same thing on the internet.
Dude, speaking of playing, like, I watch your videos when you're playing, and like you were doing like some like improv-y, like kind of blues lick the other night. I was like, dude, unbelievably talented. Like, it was so inspiring to watch you play. Like,
oh, I appreciate that, dude.
Oh, of course, man. Like, how you play is like what I want to learn how to do. Like, I love the blues. I love Stevie. I love, you know, like the classic rock, you know, the derivative of blues, like early Zeppelin and stuff. And like watching you play like that was like, man, that's what I'm missing. That's what I want to do. So like,
well,
I just love watching you play.
Well, I appreciate that, because, you know, I sit and watch you and think I need to get some sort of baritone or something super detuned and start writing some chainsaw riffs or something,
it's,
man.
So, yeah, it's, you so know, funny. Yeah, bro. Like, it's so funny. Cause like I was saying 5 minutes ago, what I grew up with, what I love is classic rock and like, mm-hmm, just like soulful. Like I said, like I'm on a huge Stevie kick right now. Like, I'm deep diving into Stevie Ray Vaughan right now. Like, I wish I could naturally do that. I have to work really hard to even get a fraction of like rock blues in me. But like, yeah, drop F, bouncy riff, I could write 10 of them in a week. Like,
right,
that are pretty solid. You know what, yeah, I mean? Like, it's just, that's just naturally when it's my turn to play, that's just what comes out of me naturally. It's just,
yeah,
it's fascinating.
Well, and that's really important. And I think that's something that a lot of, especially younger players, I actually just started teaching this year too. It's at a local mom and pop shop. And
awesome, bro. Congrats. That's really cool.
Yeah, man, I'm loving it. The only bad thing is I do work Saturday nights. So my Saturday is pretty rough on me. You know, yeah. I think I'm there at about 8, and then I work all night Saturday, get home Sunday morning about 6 a.m. Anyway, it's all good. I love teaching though. Yeah. But I've seen that from a lot of younger kids, is they're trying to, I'm trying to kind of do a little bit of both here, because not knowing any sort of like covers or not being inspired to play by somebody is just as detrimental as trying to do it all by yourself. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't really know what you mean. Can you elaborate on that?
So like, we as guitar players are standing on the shoulders of giants, of these gods of rock and roll and metal, yes, or whatever it is. You have to take the inspiration from those people and learn aspects of their playing in order, in my opinion, to improve as a guitar player. Because if you kind of do it on your own, there are people, and maybe this is just my perspective, because I personally, when I was coming up and writing, I was having such a hard time coming up with anything. But the second I learned something from somebody else, now all these other ideas that were mine just exploded out of me from just understanding a technique,
really,
or a writing style or something, cool, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so I completely agree with that sentiment. Like, because like, I'm already like starting to play devil's advocate in my head and think of rebuttals. And like, one I could already hear is like, everybody would say like, oh, Eddie Van Halen, like, he didn't play covers and he just did, you know, his own thing. And my rebuttal is like, actually, like, he was obsessed with the Dave Clark Five and Clapton, yeah, and could play Crossroads note for a note. So, mm-hmm, like, get out of my face with that BS. Like,
right,
you know what I mean? Like, everybody should start learning from the best who did it. Like, you're not going to get any worse learning how,
no,
to play Sunshine of Your Love. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, and you know, if for the people out there that are, you know, super big Van Halen fans and stuff like that, if you walked into a place to do just like an open jam or something, and you started playing, you know, Eddie's stuff with the sass that he has and the swing that he had, and you're playing note for note, people are going to be blown away by your playing.
Yeah, bro. Like, whip out like a deep cut, like, I'm the One.
Right.
It's like got show tune riffs. Like, yeah, play some of that and then like, don't like feel awesome about it. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? Like, try to like learn that and then be like, oh, I wish I wrote my own riff first. You know,
right,
what I mean? Like, yeah, okay.
Well, that's, it was really funny because I've got a younger kid. He's probably 12 or 13. And he just wants to chug all day long. And I'm hell, so here for
hell
it.
Hell yeah.
So here for it, man. But what I was trying to show him was just aspects of the major scale and how you can utilize it for songwriting and stuff like that.
Stop, man, you're speaking my language, man.
Well, but he was so disinterested at first. Yep. And I was just like, hey, man, check it out. We're going to be boring for about 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes of just being boring. And then we're going to sit down and we're going to utilize this. And we're going to write a super chuggy riff off this. And by the end of the lesson, you know, he's starting to come up with his own riffs in his head. I'm like,
that's like from a teaching standpoint. I love your approach because like that's literally what I do. It's like I know do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do is not Meshuggah. I know we're nowhere close to where you want to be, but just get like, just trust me, man. Like, please. Like, I'm like almost like begging. Like, just try to learn the major scale.
Yeah.
It's the most important scale in music. It's the first scale. It's the master scale. You know, it's like the next evolution up from the chromatic scale. Like, mm-hmm. It's the first one that has a diatonic flavor and like you're playing with a purpose.
Yeah.
Like, just please. So, like, it's funny. I wish it wasn't so much the case, but it's funny and kind of a makes me feel like I can relate to you on that front. Like, you know, when you're teaching, it's like a little bit of like pleading with the student who like
for sure
who doesn't understand the transformation and transposition from major scale to like drop F H string or something.
Yeah,
like, it's all related. It's all relevant, but you gotta just trust me.
Yeah,
you gotta believe me.
Well, and you know he's super into Slipknot, which I'm all about.
Yeah.
But I was showing him some of, you know, when Jim Root's doing more of like his jazzy clean stuff, just kind of noodling around. And I was like, see, this man is so much more talented than you're giving him credit for. You know, you're sitting here and you want to do the chuggy stuff, which he is extremely good at and extremely proficient at, but just listen to him noodle. There's more to that guy and most of these heavier musicians than just chuggy riffs. You know what I mean? You know, and it really opened his eyes when he started to see that.
Did you show him like it's like a Jazzmaster promo?
I think it was that. What was it? That super funky Meteora guitar, I think, that Fender came out with.
Okay, I see. Yeah,
I think that was the
also
one.
Also, another good example. Yeah.
Yeah.
Noodling in there. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, it's just pretty straight, clean most of it. That video, and he's just kind of hanging out and just kind of playing around with it, and that was really important to kind of shift his perspective a little bit was all I was trying to do.
Right. And I think you did a good job at that. Like,
yeah, but that's the hard thing. I think, especially for me, I'm trying to be able to shift my perspective to see the bigger picture of a lot of things. And the problem I'm running into right now is I don't know what I want to do.
In terms of guitar and or social media.
Yeah.
Okay. And when did this start and why do you feel this way more or less?
Well, I don't see, that's the thing. Like, I'm not a huge gear guy. I love gear. It's awesome, but I don't get into the nitty gritty of everything. And I'm starting to realize that I'm just a guitar player. Like, that's what I enjoy.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I can't present myself on social media as just a guitar player.
Why not?
Well, see, and this is where I need to start kicking myself in the butt every now and then.
I asked that question I asked the hard question, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Well, because that's the preconceived notion in my head, right? That there's a bunch of just guitar players online.
But there's only one.
Exactly.
Of you,
see, full circle.
Yeah.
I'm saying stuff I already know what I'm saying, you know, and I needed to just stop it. You know, I'm just being stupid about it, but that's one of the things I'm trying to teach these students to is finding your own voice, start putting yourself out there if this is what you want to do. If it's just like a weekend thing where you just want to have guitar and you want to decompress with it at the end of the night, that's awesome too.
Yeah.
You know, I have a few students that are a little older. That's all they really want to do is they want to sit on the couch, hang out, drink a beer, and just play a little bit better than what they are at now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, we can talk about it now or we could talk about it offline, but like if you need a little bit of like, I think I have some tips and tricks on like where we could like kind of focus, you know, what could help you out. Like and forgive me for even overstepping if you want my advice. Like,
oh, no. Yeah, I would absolutely love that advice. But this episode's not about me. We can talk about that offline.
It's about us, bro.
We need to talk about you.
Yeah, well, it's not just about me. I appreciate that. But like, whenever I'm a guest, I want to be very mindful of it's a two-way street.
Absolutely.
I don't want to be like, oh, and then I'm also doing this. Oh, and then you'll never guess who also, you know, I'm not. That's
well,
not me. You know me. I'm not like
that. I know, man. I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. But no, we could definitely right. talk about that offline.
Yeah. All right. Let's chat afterwards, bro. I got you.
Sounds good, man. We need to talk about something though, because I'm kind of curious on and I don't know how much you can say, but I'm kind of curious of the inner workings of this. I want to talk about the Sweetwater thing, man.
Oh, sure, bro. Yeah. It's not that crazy. Listen to me.
It's pretty crazy, man.
There I was. No, it's actually, it's funny, and I'm super appreciative how it went down. So I was a hired gun, with a band called Monochromatic Black, who is currently blowing up on social media, and I'm so happy for them. Just want to give a quick shout out to Monochromatic Black from
Absolutely.
Long Island, New York, dude. Like the most professional group of people I've ever been a part of in the business. Like so regimented, so put together, on time, like early, like just very clean, which is important on tour. Friendly, polite, appreciative. Oh man, went to bed early. It was the best, bro. Like so huge.
That's
shout out
a
to
rarity.
Yeah, bro. Like it was perfect. So a huge shout out to Monochromatic Black, Tanya, Eddie, John, Oliver, and Mike, their merch guy. It was awesome to be a part of that. They went to Sweetwater, passing through the Midwest. I had never been. They had never been. Like, oh, we're going to Sweetwater. I was like, all right, sweet. So I walked in the door as a customer, like just shopping, because that's what I was doing. We were just like killing time. I think they needed like strings and, you know, the essentials for touring, maybe like you know, like an XLR cable or something. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I was just like messing around in the areas, like kind of like in the center. They have all the pedals, like literally every pedal on the market. It's like right in the center of the room. And this gentleman walks up to me who's also shopping, but also used to work at Sweetwater.
Okay.
And he's like, hey man, like nice to meet you. You know, I love your channel. Love your stuff. I was like, thank you. He then takes me to the front desk and I get some lady's business card. And like, here, email this person, let them know who you are, and maybe we could work together. It's like, cool, thank you. Next thing you know, we're like walking to like the food court area where all the tables are.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else from Sweetwater who actually works there, Sweetwater that works there, recognizes me and says, hey, dude, love your channel. I'll be right back. I'm like, okay. Like, just, okay, you know, no disrespect, but like, you know, you hear people, it was like incredibly busy too, mind you. It was like,
yeah,
running around. I was like, okay, but like, you know, it was nice to meet you. So then, long story short, we're sitting at the food court. All of a sudden this guy named Josh Rivera comes up to me, really handsome fellow with a killer mustache, like looks great. He's like, hey man, I love your channel, blah blah blah, I'd love to get you hooked up with the affiliate program. And I'm like, wow, thank you so much. Like, I just felt so appreciative that like I walked in there just like minding my business, not peacocking, not like, all right, I'm at Sweetwater, you know, who wants, you know, none
yeah,
of that.
Like, opening the doors and be like, here I am.
Yeah. I literally went to get a Sweetwater lanyard for my tour pass, my backstage pass. That's all I was there for. And so like people were just so appreciative to like, they saw me, recognized me, and then somebody ran upstairs and like let somebody know I was here and they wanted to catch me before I left. What a kind and just amazing thing. Like I felt like so silly, because you know, I was having like an improv business meeting right next to this band that I'm not in, and I'm holding them up from getting to the next town.
Right.
And like, but they were like super nice. Like Monochromatic Black was super like stoked. I'm like, wow, what the hell was that? I was like, I don't know. I'm like, we just set up the Sweetwater thing right then and there. And then fast forward a couple months, they sent me some DR strings to talk about, as well as the Tim Henson pickups, which
oh nice
right there. So
yeah,
the new Fishman set. So like those are going in a guitar very, very soon. And like that's like the beginnings of the Sweetwater gig.
Yeah.
Like, so basically the gig going forward is just to talk about Sweetwater. I have my own artist landing page, and basically my job is to gain traction to the website and hopefully convert some sales. Like,
sure.
Definitely not going to shy away from, you know, that's obviously what I'm doing. And I think 99% of people know that. But the fact that Sweetwater just like is stoked on me and what I'm doing, I'm just so, so appreciative. And like,
yeah,
the way it went down, it was like, it made me like gain a little perspective of like, hey, people like me. Sometimes I run into that. Like, dude, are people even into what I'm doing? Like, because it's hard to gauge your reach.
Yeah.
No matter how many positive comments you get, it's like I have to do a better job of like realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, when the Sweetwater thing happened, that wasn't like the catalyst to that, but it was just like a nice reminder.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's
like people like you, man. People want to do things with you. People are stoked on you. So
yeah, it's almost a small vindication of all the work you've put in over the years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I don't want you to think like I don't mean that you think you deserve it. I'm just saying like you know it's like paying off finally.
I know. I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah, you're saying like, dude, you've been grinding for years. It's
right.
It was only like a matter of time or
sure.
I think you do deserve it is the most appropriate thing to say, or like it, you earned it. Maybe that
there you go. Yeah. That's a better way to put it. Well, and that's the thing too. Cause I mean, you've had sponsors and endorsements in the past. It's just, this one is, it was kind of just and I might be speaking out of turn here, so I apologize if I am, but you know, this one kind of was just straight out of the blue. Really. It was just like, literally, hey, hold on. Be right
literally
back.
Literally out of the blue. Walked in shopping, left with like an endorsement with the biggest music gear distributor in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, it's just like, man, what do I have to complain about?
Yeah.
You know, like, dude, take a look around. Like, you're doing very well, so cut yourself a break.
Right.
I'm super hard on myself. Like, if I don't post a video every day, or if I post a video that doesn't engage as good as backstage with Slipknot in 2019.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean? Or like
the pinnacle of your career, right?
Dude, yeah. Maybe, but it's the catalyst. I know that's not my peak. I know I'm going to do something that's way cooler.
Yeah, I was being facetious.
No, I know. And I'm kind of more or less being facetious right back. Like,
yeah.
I met somebody at Guitar Center yesterday real quick, just said, hey, yeah, I saw you. I started following you from your Jim Root video. I was like, really? It's just like, I was like, oh, thank you so much. But it's like, yeah, that video is still like, still helping me out.
Oh yeah, man.
Like I'll never not be forever in debt and grateful and thankful for that opportunity.
Well, and once again, man, you know, and I've tried to explain this to people that situations like these happen all the time, but it's not going to happen unless you put yourself out there.
Yep. Yep. And it's like, you never know when something's going to happen, but you just have to show up. Like, you just have to be around. And most from experience, like, I don't talk about most of like the business side of things, but like most deals and opportunities fall right through. They're like, oh yeah, yeah, let's do this. Okay. And then like it goes literally nowhere. Cause I think people like to talk and you know,
sure.
It's okay. But when they do come through, you just have to be ready, and you just have to put yourself in those situations.
Well, I think it pays dividends that you made all those mistakes early on. And I think you almost have to as a creator in order to prepare yourself for these situations that you're going through right now. Because if Sweetwater would have approached you, let's say a little earlier on, maybe when you started gaining a little bit of traction, maybe in the first year or two of the YouTube thing, I think you would have been just fine, but I think it would have been really hard for you to like really push as hard as you could like now in retrospect. You know what I mean?
Or like, yeah, like, or I would be pushing, but like, I certainly agree with you, but like, I feel like now I'm much more like refined and much more polished. And
yeah.
Like, one thing I never really do is speak highly of myself, but like my playing has gotten really good over the last couple months. I would say I've been working my butt off to get better. So like, you know, had an opportunity like this came around 2, 3, 4 years ago, like when I was in and out of the hospital all the time and was, you know, worrying about other things, you know, it could have potentially failed miserably.
And like, well, you know. And I mean, you never know. Like right now, the sky's kind of the limit with you and Sweetwater. You know what I mean? You have no idea where that's going to go. But I don't see it going anywhere other than an upward trajectory. But like you were saying in the past, it might have faltered and you might have fallen out of, you know, good graces with the folks over at Sweetwater.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have. And also too, a couple of years, like I had, I still kind of do, but like I had a couple endorsements like with brands over the last couple of years. Like I love EMG pickups. I love Balaguer guitars and I love Victory amps and I love Stringjoy strings. But like my Balaguer guitar, like EMG, Victory, and Stringjoy was never exclusive. And Balaguer wasn't really exclusive either. Mm-hmm. But like having my first guitar endorsement come to an end, all in great terms, you know, as I said publicly, and I'll say it here, like I love Joe Balaguer and the Balaguer guitars team. And I still might go back with him. I'm just not in a rush to sign on with anybody.
Sure.
I'm like, you know, I'm digesting it and taking my time and learning. So like my point is with this whole Sweetwater thing, like I'm an unrestricted free agent right now. I can do whatever I want. And at the same time, I still love to support the brands and things that I love. Like I love EMG pickups. Like they're the best, but I also love DiMarzio a lot. I love DiMarzio so much. I love Fishman's a lot. Like the Fishman Fluff is an awesome bridge pickup, et cetera. So yeah, like now just working with Sweetwater, like you said, the sky's the limit. I'm fortunate enough to where like I can do whatever I want. I can work with whoever I want. And yeah, it's just like, it feels good to be able to like just have the experience of like having some relatively limited endorsements and then like learn from it and like learn how to like engage and cross promote and all the above with brands going forward.
Yeah. Well, and I like what you said too, how nothing is ever like exclusive, you know what I mean? And I think that's one of the things I don't, after talking to a few of the brands, like you mentioned earlier, like actually just talking to like Scott from Stringjoy and stuff like that, I don't think they would ever want you to be exclusive.
Stringjoy specifically?
No, just like companies such as Stringjoy, they want you to be you. And if you happen to really enjoy what they're doing, well, let people know, you know what I mean?
I know several brands and or players that are in exclusive deals, not with strings per se, but with other endeavors. And like, they can't, like, there's even like exclusive amp sim deals now.
Okay. Yeah.
So like, you know, there, some brands do want you to be locked in, and I would recommend anybody who's listening or even to myself, I recommend not to be in an exclusive deal with a brand unless you're getting paid for it.
Sure.
Cause like let's say you're endorsed by like a pedal company or something. Like you can only use this brand's overdrives, delays, whatever, like, but you're not getting paid for it and you're just getting free pedals. You can't buy groceries with pedals.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you can't go buy a head of lettuce with your overdrive, no matter how sick it sounds. You know what I mean? Like you can't. So like, but it's like so enticing as a up and coming starving guitarist and musician. Like, wow, this company wants to have me be exclusive and I get free pedals. And you know, that if that works, if that scenario works for you, then run with it, do it.
Yeah.
But like, if it doesn't, don't do it just because it like looks cool or like it's a cool title to have.
Yeah. I mean, me thinking of that sort of situation being, if you were, let's say in the YouTube space, you know what I mean? And you're demoing stuff. Well, now you're exclusively on a pedal company. There are so many, there's a plethora of companies these days and everybody does something slightly different. You're not going to have any variety in your channel and it's going to get really boring and really dry, not only for your audience, but for you too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like let's say like, I don't know, let's go to fantasy land. Let's say Gibson wants to endorse me.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be rad. But like, I feel like that would be a brand where like, that's an exception to like the exclusivity might not hinder you.
Sure.
Like, let's say you get like, you play only Gibson guitars, you get like one a year, whatever. Like, now you have to find a way to make content using only Gibson guitars. And I feel like Gibson and Fender are like, in my opinion, maybe the only two brands that would really pay off.
Absolutely.
Maybe Kiesel too. Like, say if Kiesel's exclusive or something, but like, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, what if you're endorsed to some brand and you want to play another guitar? Now you can't. Now you got to like find other creative ways to be engaging online, and you better be able to play your ass off to make up for that.
Yeah. Well, I think what you said earlier, you know, if it makes sense for what you're trying to do, then go for it. But me playing devil's advocate right now, I couldn't foresee where it would make a whole lot of sense for content creation personally.
Unless they're sponsoring you, like Slash. I would say sponsored by Gibson. He's not endorsed. It's a level up. He's making money off of Gibson. So like,
yeah,
if you can monetize your endorsement and turn it into a sponsorship, and it's like covering the over of how much money you need to make on a yearly basis.
Sure.
Then do it. Go for it. Like your money's like, you know, we'll pay you $40,000. Flat rate, 1 year, play this guitar. That would make sense. I could find another way to supplement my content.
Absolutely.
With that check in my back pocket. But that's a fever dream and a half. That will never happen, you know, unless I'm in Guns N' Roses. But right now I'm not in Guns. So, you know, like you got to find other ways to make money.
Well, and I mean, I think you're doing okay for yourself right now, even though you're not in Guns N' Roses right now, man.
Yeah, so. And, you know, no, like, listen to me as if, you know, as if that would ever happen. But yeah, like, on a serious note, man, yeah, just like, for anybody who's trying to do this or is doing it, just the appeal of, like, being endorsed and all that is, like, it's really cool, but it also can, like, chop off your engagement and your creativity off at the knees, because now you're stuck.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people, we probably talked about this last time, but I think a lot of people still have that misconception of what that means between a company. I mean, it's not a, we give you this and you do whatever you want. It's we give you this and you give us something in return. You know, it's never just hey, here's something free. We like what you do. You know,
yeah, it's, you know, maybe there is a scenario out there, but it's very, very scarce. Like,
yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with like a company expecting something.
Absolutely not.
That's yeah, like it's business, man. It's all good.
Yeah.
And you know, mostly it's like in exchange for a video, i.e.
Sure.
an unboxing and or a review, and just play it. Please play it whenever you can.
Yeah.
Like, or whenever you want to. It's kind of like the like final like stipulation, like. Unbox it, take a photo of it, play it, and then from there, if you want to be a good guy, just play it every now and again. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of like how I see like these exchanges going.
For sure.
So yeah, it's what a fascinating like endeavor, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what a crazy, like, it's so specific but so vague at the same time.
Yeah.
Like I said, like you can't buy your groceries with, you know, an amplifier head. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Here are my groceries, and then they slam this on the conveyor belt.
Oh, don't worry.
This
will cover. This will cover the bill, and then some. I'm actually going to need change back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can you give me change back in like cables, picks,
right.
and you know, maybe some pickups? Yeah. It just obviously doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it'd be a wild world if it actually did. Well, before we wrap up the main episode, let's go ahead. I know we got your plugs last time, but let's just get those plugs one more time, and we'll go ahead and wrap the main episode up.
Yeah, dude. So one thing I do want to plug is like I'm currently waiting on like A&R reps for a label.
Nice.
For my next musical endeavor, which I'm super thankful for. Not holding my breath, but like I would love potentially if it made sense to do that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, like plugging that. I don't know when it'll be out, but like it's pretty much done. Just waiting to hear the logistical side of things. And then from there, man, yeah, if you want to follow me on YouTube, TikTok, I have a TikTok now, Facebook, Instagram, it's all just my legal name, Xander Raymond Charles. No space, no caps. Yeah, I appreciate anybody checking it out, and just as always, appreciative to be on the Man the Helm podcast, man.
Absolutely, dude. Well, all those will be linked down below, so definitely go over and check out everything that Ray is up to. And Ray, this is going to be the first Patreon episode that I've ever done, so we're going to get some wild stuff in, I guess.
Oh, man, dude. Good thing I prepared. I have so much wild things going on, you don't even know.
So. Oh, I know. So if you want to know it, you're going to have to go over to Patreon and check it out.
Dude. Sign on up. Otherwise, you're missing out, let me tell you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, for Ray, let's go ahead and cut this or wrap this up, and we will check you guys next week on Man the Helm podcast.
Bye-bye.